You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers bounce back, but what does that mean? Two words, Jack Squadouche. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus. Don't forget on your smart speaker as well by saying play ESPN Radio. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. 10 minutes, more NFL insight from insider Dan Graziano in just a little bit. We'll discuss if, in fact, it is an elite level that Derek Carr has reached for the Las Vegas Raiders. But we begin with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers beating up on the Lions last night. And as I said last hour, it was an awfully chirpy week for critics of the Packers. So they got to quiet the critics. We beat up on the Lions. Take that, jerk store. Yeah, no, not quite. You beat up on the Lions. And as I've said before, Aaron Rodgers' career quarterback rating against the Lions is approaching somewhere around 800. Look, to go out and play as well as they did a week after getting beat up by the Bills, by the Saints, was absolutely necessary against a football team that's just not that good. But that's the larger point here. It felt after the game that Aaron Rodgers wanted to make sure everybody knew that he cares and he's just fine. Now remember, last week, his post-game reaction to getting trounced by 35 points was, it's just one game. No big deal. And everybody started to wonder, well, where is his head at this year? What's going to happen is when you create drama like Aaron Rodgers did this offseason, people are going to parse your words. And you didn't do much last week to allow that not to happen. When you come across as, just one game, no big deal. You come across, true or not, as if you don't care. So, of course, after the game, Aaron was asked about how he came across last week.
I just was going to ask the comment you made about trying to show you like you cared a little bit more. Did it look, obviously you cared last week, but did it, you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Did the national conversation irk you over the past week? Did it bother you? Obviously, you were aware of what was being said about caring.
I'm aware of it because of Tom. Tom keeps me aware of these things. I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Yeah, that's not really what's going on here, okay? You can say all you want about that performance and about getting them off your back for at least a week. And we all know that you have a sarcastic tone to how you're saying that. But when you say people like to say a lot of blank, at least include yourself in that. Not that he was going to do it in a press conference, but we all know that's true. Because we heard a lot of it from Aaron Rodgers this summer. I don't honestly think that coming out and taking bows after beating the Lions is where you want to go if you're Rodgers and the Packers right now. You know, very quickly with a lot of this stuff, A-Rod has become one of the most unlikable current athletes around. And that's difficult for me to say because I really liked Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the offseason. And I honestly thought that I was 100% on board with him wanting out of Green Bay. In the NFL, as far as my opinions usually run, it's about 98% of the time I am going to be on board with a player pushing for his own best interests. Well, consistently with his actions this offseason of continuing to draw more attention to it and then basically saying you don't want to deal with all the drama when that's all you did was create it. I mean, it's basically the drama version of Backdraft. I'll set the fire so I can go back and put it out. That's pretty much what you try to do. And when you're needling the media and all that stuff last night, bro, stop pointing at everybody else. At least acknowledge that you love it. At least acknowledge you'd fit right in on The Real Housewives. Because I have no doubt that your skills at throwing wine would be elite. Absolutely elite. Did you know that now there have only been three quarterbacks that have passed for 4,000 yards and thrown fewer than 10 interceptions in each of the previous two seasons? Aaron Rodgers is one. Patrick Mahomes is another. You know who the third is? Derek Carr. Derek Carr is throwing a lot for the Raiders over the last few years because the Raiders are often behind. And that's what they are. They've never been a team that wants to go and ground it out and pound it out. That's not what the Raiders do. They want to chuck it all over the lot. But with that in mind, the fact that his interception numbers have been so low as they have been, you have to give it up to the level at which Derek Carr is playing. There's a reason why we use the word elite, because elite is supposed to be not just the top level, but the best of the best. We can talk about Hall of Famers, and then we can talk about those inner circle Hall of Famers. And right now, you would call Aaron Rodgers an inner circle Hall of Famer. You would call Patrick Mahomes on his way to being that level of Hall of Famer. You wouldn't say that about Derek Carr. The last few years, he has done an outstanding job to become a much better quarterback than I think John Gruden ever anticipated he would be, and frankly, that most of us ever anticipated he would be. He is a very, very good quarterback. But when we start to talk about elite and the level at which he's playing, as good as it is, when we look around the league, around football right now, are there five quarterbacks that you would rather have if you needed to go and win a big game above Derek Carr? The answer is yes. There absolutely are five quarterbacks that you would rather have in the game right now if you needed to go win a game more than Derek Carr. So while the numbers tell us one thing, does that really tell us enough? Let's slow down on the elite talk with Derek Carr. And then there's the Cowboys. Through 2 weeks, almost beating the world champions in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then coming back and beating the Chargers on the road, it's been pretty impressive, I have to say. Now, to me, that first game, they should absolutely look back on with incredible regret as opposed to taking it as the moral victory as most did when you had the world champs turning it over four times and having 100 yards in penalties and still beating you. That's bad. But when you have that chance to step forward like they did this past week and respond with such an impressive win as they got on the road against the Chargers, you're starting to really get some attention around the league that maybe you are going to be on that next level. And with that in mind, we turn to our NFL insider. That's Dan Graziano, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, it's Chris Carlin. Appreciate the time. And let's start with the Cowboys and how they have played these first 2 weeks and your overall impression, what you're hearing around the league about how people are looking at the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, I think they've been impressive. And the people I talked to, I think there was a significant concern about the loss of DeMarcus Lawrence and what that would mean for the pass rush. So there's a lot of buzz around what the rookie Micah Parsons is able to do, moving up from linebacker to the defensive line after practicing it for 1 week. and having the impact he did on the game against a good offensive line that the Chargers have and a good young quarterback. So I think there's a feeling like, you know, there's a lot of talent there. The division is winnable. They didn't score a ton of points Sunday, but in general, they're a team that's going to score points. And yeah, I think they're, you know, do people see them as a Super Bowl contender? Probably not, just because it's been so long. And when they have been in the playoffs in recent years, they've kind of not been able to push through. But I think certainly within the confines of the NFC East, I think they're probably the team that more people than not recognize as the likely favorite.
Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio, joined by Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider. He will have the Washington football team in Buffalo this coming week. Dan, last night, Aaron Rodgers saying it's nice to quiet the trolls for a week.
Yeah.
Dan, my impression of this whole thing has been Aaron, throughout this entire offseason, has been the guy that has been setting the fire, and now he seems to enjoy the possibility of putting out the fire. He likes the drama, but then talks about how much he hates the drama. What's your impression of Aaron Rodgers right now?
Yeah, my thought was like, what is he talking about, right? I never heard anybody last week say anything about worrying about the Packers, et cetera. So we were talking about this on Get Up this morning. Somebody tweeted at me and pointed out that last week on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max's show, Jermichael Finley, the former Packers tight end, said something about he thinks Jordan Love will be starting by week four. So I think Aaron might have been sending a message to one of his former teammates that was publicly doubting him last week. So that's my thought. He, you know, he winks at one point during that press conference. Seems like it's kind of an inside joke with him and the reporter he was talking to. Maybe it was about Finley and that's the troll he was talking about. Because if that's really what Finley said, then that's a troll job.
Dan, when you look at the first couple of weeks of the season, what team has taken the biggest step forward in your estimation, perhaps even further than you would have expected them to?
Didn't think the Raiders would be this good. Again, the Raiders have started well in some recent years and not finished so well, so I'd like to see them finish it off before I fully believe. So I think the Raiders are the first team that jumps to mind, and the one that jumped to mind, as I was saying, Raiders, was the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they look very impressive on defense. Brian Burns and that pass rush they have are going to be a problem all year, even if the offense with Sam Darnold is inconsistent, which it very well might be. But I think Carolina lines up as that might be Tampa Bay's top challenger in its division if New Orleans can't address some of its issues.
Let's spend a minute on the Raiders. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, Derek Carr's play has been off the charts through the first 2 weeks of the season. And that word, that elite word, is starting to get circled around, starting to circle around his name. Is he, in your estimation, at least playing at that level right now before we put him in that category?
Sure, he's got 817 passing yards, and no one else has 700. Like, yeah, obviously you've got to say over the first 2 weeks of the season, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Again, that's two games. I think what we can say about Derek Carr is, he knows how to play in the NFL. He is more comfortable than ever in the Gruden offense here in year four, as you would think he would be. He's got good young talent around him in terms of pass catchers. He's super tough. I mean, we've seen him play hurt. Like, I don't think you can question anything about Derek Carr in terms of his desire to win. If there's stuff you don't like about Derek Carr, it's just, he sort of has in the past, he's kind of left you sort of uninspired, you know, good quarterback, not great. Able to win some games, but not the big ones. So, you know, we'll see how that progresses as the season goes along. But I think, you know, he's a player that if you're a Raiders fan, you can be, you know, optimistic about, because it's entirely possible this is a guy that has worked on his craft throughout his career and is getting to a point where he might be about to flourish.
Dan, what did the win over Kansas City do for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I was there at that game, and then in their, you know, well, we don't go in the locker room anymore, but in their press conference room afterwards, and they were so fired up, Chris. I mean, like, John Harbaugh was like, he was buzzing. Like, he couldn't believe how excited he was to win that game. Lamar was obviously excited. First time he's beaten the Chiefs. First time he's come out ahead on Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I somebody said, is this the kind of win that would galvanize the Ravens going forward? And I think you could make that case, but my issue with that is I think they already were. I think Harbaugh was selling this hard last week. Nobody thinks we can win this game. And it was true. Not every time a coach says that to his team is it true, but I think last week it was. And I think they felt like, you know, they stuck with their plan. They ran the ball even after they got behind early. And they were just extremely proud of themselves. They needed that win badly. They knew it was going to be a tall task, and they were able to pull it off. And I think, you know, they have a long way to go. All their injury issues are still there. But I think, you know, you win a game like that, it validates what you believe about your team. And the belief the Ravens have in their team and in Lamar Jackson is very strong.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, with us. Dan, Pete Carroll's been outspoken about it. Reaction so far through the league in circles regarding the taunting rule and the emphasis that's been put on it this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously people are annoyed. Look, the league has tried to make it clear. I don't think they've done a great job selling this publicly, but they've tried to make it clear when they've talked to, like, us. It's not an anti-celebration rule. You know, we don't mind if you celebrate. Just don't celebrate, like, in your opponent's face. The thing was brought up by coaches. The coaches said to the league, like, hey, there's a taunting rule on the books. It's not being enforced. We'd like to see it enforced. We don't want fights to break out. So that was the impetus for it. As with any new rule or point of emphasis, we're at a part of the season where it's probably gone a little overboard because the officials aren't exactly sure. You can tell the officials what to do all you want, but until they put it in practice at game speed, they can't be sure if they're doing it right. So what we often see is whatever the rule or point of emphasis is, the beginning of the year, they call it a lot, and then the league kind of gets the officials together and says, all right, fine, you're doing what we told you to do, but a little too much. This is what we want to see. This is what we don't want to see. And I think it'll fade as the season goes on. It won't completely disappear, but I don't think the rate of the taunting penalties will continue as it has the first 2 weeks.
We've got a couple of amazing NFC games this week, Dan. First of all, the Buccaneers visiting the Rams. Are the Rams going to end up being a serious challenge to the Buccaneers this year?
I mean, you know, ask me again Sunday night, right? Like, that's I want to see how they look against them. I'm seriously, I mean, they are, they have all the pieces. And, you know, Tom Brady knows that. I mean, I think both of these teams are good enough that while, you know, they'll tell you they don't look ahead, they certainly have in the back of their minds the idea that this might be a game that helps determine some playoff seeding, right? Like, there's only one bye. And they're both teams that look at it and say they think they can probably get it if things go well. So if it comes down to a head-to-head tiebreaker, then the winner of this game matters a great deal. So I think it's a heavyweight fight. There's no doubt about it in the NFC. I think it's one of the most exciting matchups of the week. And I think if the Rams are able to win, they come out of it with, again, I use that word validation. Like, they think they're good. They think they're a Super Bowl contender. You go beat Tom Brady and the Bucs, who haven't lost since, what, last November, you have the right to start believing that even more strongly.
And then Green Bay visiting San Francisco. The 49ers haven't gotten a whole lot of attention in the NFC this year because of those other three teams. Is this a game where you look at them and they take care of Green Bay and all of a sudden they do elevate themselves to that discussion?
I think so, because I think, again, Green Bay is a team that I think people think is going to be there in the end in the NFC. So San Francisco, they're 2-0, not the prettiest 2-0 we've seen, but the 2-0 is 2-0, dealing with injuries, as has become their custom. But they're fighting through it and putting something together with around Garoppolo and eventually transitioning to Trey Lance. But, I think they're happy to be under the radar. Look, same thing with San Francisco as the Rams, too. That NFC West looks really, really tough, right? Cardinals are 2-0, too. The Seahawks 1-1, but we know the Seahawks will be there the whole time. So, you know, you've got to bank wins against the rest of your schedule because you know that it's going to be really tough in your division games. So to the extent that the Rams can beef up their record outside of head-to-head matchups in their division, and same thing for the 49ers, these are games that that take on extra importance.
Listen, it would be tough to do, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that you actually had four teams out of the West make the postseason.
Not at all, but they do have tough schedules, so we'll
yes,
see.
They do.
Long way to go.
Dan, appreciate the time and insight as always, man. Thanks.
My pleasure, Chris.
Dan Graziano joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. There's the Bears. There's Andy Dalton. There's Justin Fields. There's indecision from the head coach when it comes to whether or not Dalton is going to be healthy? And if he's healthy, is he the guy? So if the Bears do turn to Fields, can they ever turn back? That in moments. Now, my friends, it has been a great start to the NFL season. I can speak. And it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is pulling new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, and the best part is that you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code PLAY. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code PLAY to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code PLAY. Only at DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Aaron Rodgers just causing all the drama so he can try to put it out? And considering the Packers' schedule, do they really have what it takes this year to get home? We discuss all that, plus the mess that is the Chicago Bears. Is it Justin Fields' turn? That's next. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The biggest season ever.
The system is garbage. I've never liked it.
The very latest news, analysis, and plenty of opinions.
It puts up a lot of points. It wins nothing.
And it starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
More from Aaron Rodgers because, of course, Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get to Justin Fields and the Bears in just a moment, but want to update you on what Rodgers had to say on his weekly interview with Pat McAfee. And he did acknowledge in this interview that he was specifically referencing, he didn't say him by name, but clearly he meant JerMichael Finley and his comments last week on KJ and Max, that he wasn't focused enough on football anymore and what he was doing the offseason. It shows that he's not that guy. And as we've gone through and talked about quite a bit last week, there's clearly an axe to grind there with JerMichael Finley. So I don't, with JerMichael Finley and Aaron Rodgers. So I don't hold that against Rodgers at all. So when he says the following, part of it has to be attributed to Finley. Quote, "It's absolute blank to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and focus. I don't think I need to defend myself from people who aren't worth spending time on." Now, that was the part that he acknowledged in reference to the comments that Finley made last week. And then also said this, "I think all these people on all these shows think they're celebrities and they believe that they have this platform to say whatever they want. That's the state of media right now." Well, so just now we're coming to the conclusion that the media can be critical of you and you think it's just all about getting clicks and it's getting it off of you? Look, are there members of the media that absolutely do that? Of course there are. But there are plenty that don't. And to suggest that none of this is self-inflicted is remarkably insulting. Remarkably insulting. Really, to the people that you're talking to when you say that. I mean, at least acknowledge that you have played a role in this by making all of this public. You know, you didn't seem to have a problem with the line of 10 to 15 ex-teammates who were coming out this summer and doing their bidding for you, doing your bidding for you. I could say that right. They were all out there and spreading the Aaron Rodgers party line. You weren't talking for yourself at that point. You were just having everybody else do it. But one of them now comes out, or other media come out and actually are critical of what you are doing. And all of a sudden, it's just garbage. It's all garbage. It's all terrible. Here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers has never been criticized in his entire career for anything. He's been a tremendous player. And so this offseason, when this all came up, he started to catch some heat. But he handled it worse and worse and worse as it goes along. That's just what he's done. He continues to show by trying to say that he's not sensitive, that he really is super sensitive about the whole thing. Truth be told, when has Aaron Rodgers ever really been criticized before in his career? When? That's what I thought. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Bears yesterday and Matt Nagy came out and said that Andy Dalton is the Bears starting quarterback when healthy. But if he's not and Justin Fields takes his place, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that they can ever go back to Dalton if Fields plays well? Here's Dave Kaplan on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 Chicago. David was on this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about Nagy and his approach to this situation.
I like Matt very much. I think he's a really good dude, and I think he's truly trying to do what's best long-term for the kid and the franchise. His job security be damned. But he needs to go to that podium, and he needs to, what I call, tune out the mitote. The mitote is the thousand voices in your head out there that, oh, you shouldn't do this. You better do this. No. Go to the podium and say, hey, Brad Biggs of the Tribune, I'm not answering that question. Next. Coach, is he Andy Dalton? I'm not answering it. Next. If you guys and gals want to talk about something else, fire away. I'm not talking about the quarterback. Am I clear?
Dave.
But he doesn't do that.
And that's the thing. It's easily avoidable, and yet he put himself in this position. I think moving forward here, I have felt all along that the best situation for Justin Fields was not to start until week 5 or week 6. It's going to happen sooner rather than later, and once you turn that faucet, no matter the reason why, it's going to be awfully difficult to shut it off. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Up next, Ben Simmons has laid down the gauntlet. He wants out of Philadelphia, and he's not showing up. Why Ben Simmons is never going to win a championship. That's next. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. All on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Ben Simmons is not a winning player. We'll tell you why. Next, Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Simmons isn't showing up to Sixers training camp. Good for him. He is a losing player. And wherever he ends up, it's not going to be a good situation. I can guarantee you that. We explain in moments. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Robert in Virginia next on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Robert, what's going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that Bears situation is really interesting, and I had previously posted way back that I thought Fields had as much potential as any of the rookie quarterbacks. But at the same time, I think he's probably the least prepared to play full-time. And I think Nagy's doing the right thing to stay with Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton's got a lot of experience, and there's so much to learn. And I just think that they're playing the Fields thing the right way. Obviously, if he gets hurt or he can't play next week, they'll play Fields. But I would stick with Dalton. And I think they can make the playoffs with Dalton. I think Dalton's good enough to get him in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know about that. That might be pushing it, Robert, and thanks for the call. That's number one. Playoffs with Dalton, that's a tough sell. Number two, they'll be best off if Fields gets to watch for five or six games, but the least prepared of the rookie class of quarterbacks to step in and start is absolutely Trey Lance. And he's not going to be starting anytime soon unless there is some sort of injury. Because Trey Lance, you have to remember how little experience he has had over the last couple of years. And the experience that he did have was on the FCS level. So that all very much makes a difference. I would say that if Dalton could go, he should go in the short term. But it's not all that far out that you should be expecting to see Fields. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So Ben Simmons, according to Woj, will not report to the beginning of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the Philadelphia 76ers. He, in essence, communicated all of that at the end of August with a meeting with the executives of the team and hasn't talked to them since. Few things at work here. Number one, let's be clear about what Ben Simmons is. He is a player who has never been interested in attacking a weakness or two or three of his game. He is an elite level defender. He is an amazing passer of the basketball, and he's a very, very good rebounder. He's 6'11". He should be. Ben Simmons is somebody that from day one in Philadelphia, when he didn't play the second half of his first year because he still wanted to be able to win the Rookie of the Year award and get a $5 million bonus from Nike, showed what he was about. And then you go through the next few years and you have a genuine point guard as he wants to be, who did not make one three-pointer his first two seasons and did not attack this weakness and is 5-for-34 in his career from behind the arc, is not a good shooter, period, outside of 5 feet. Go and look at what his shot charts look like, and you'll understand why his field goal percentage is north of 50%. It's because they're usually within 3 to 4 feet. They're usually dunks or layups on breaks. Except, of course, when it comes to going to dunk the basketball in Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks this year, he was standing under the basket alone, and he didn't dunk the ball because he was afraid that somebody was going to foul him from behind. He has always been a bad free throw shooter. In the high 50s to the low 60s, it has never improved. He has never worked hard at attacking these weaknesses in his game. Yeah, sure. You'll see some Instagram stories in the offseason where they show Ben making a couple of jump shots, making a couple of threes from the outside. Here's the great thing about video. You can edit it. So I'm guessing that Ben wasn't making 6 and 7 shots in a row. That's not how things were going down. So he's never gotten better at it. And I look at a player like Lonzo Ball, who started playing in the league at the exact same time that Ben did, after Ben sat out that first year. Lonzo Ball was a 47% free throw shooter his first year. God awful. Horrible. Worked hard. Got better at it each and every year. In his fourth season, you know what he was this past year? 78%. His jump shot was horrible when he got into the league. A big knock on him when he was getting drafted, even though he got drafted as high as he did. What happened? He worked on form. What a concept. He worked on improving his mechanics. Unbelievable. Never heard of this before. And he wasn't afraid to look bad. Ben Simmons has always been afraid to look bad. He has never wanted to expose himself in a situation where he doesn't feel comfortable. He won't do anything that he knows he is not great at. He is more than happy to bring you as many dazzling no-look passes as you'd like, because he's one of the best to ever do that. He is more than happy to defend. He is more than happy to get out on the break. But in terms of improving his overall game and winning games, zero interest. And now, in a situation where he and Joel Embiid could have combined to win multiple championships over several years when you consider their skill sets, had he gotten better, had he worked at getting better. Now he wants out of it. So if he ends up in some place like Minnesota, good for him. If he's playing with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, I can guarantee you this, they will never win a championship with Ben Simmons as their point guard. It will not happen. When you have a player that is a lot more concerned with how they look stylistically on the floor than with actually improving and getting better, you can't win. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio.